Now back to Heat Wave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Bart.
All right, guys. Hour number two here on Heat Wave Sports. Tom Bart from TomBartSports.com. You guys can check me out. I do my daily radio show, which is now nationally syndicated at SportsGarden.com. You can go check that out. That's with a T, SportsGarden, G-A-R-T-E-N. A couple of good guests coming up this week. So always take a look at that. TomBartonSports.com. I told you guys it's pretty funny that I haven't been betting on hockey for – I took about 5 years off because my percentages just weren't there. They were hovering right around 52%. Well, I just ended the regular season of hockey, the regular season of the NHL at TomBartonSports.com, according to Capper's Monitor and CapperTech.com. Both of them, number one in the country at NHL betting this year. So we have that. I gave you Virginia before the year. The NBA is winning. Major League Baseball, winning. You get it all at TomBartonSports.com. I did mention the NBA. Let's talk. Let's talk a little NBA. But before we get into the playoffs, which are seemingly rounding into form, I've got to get Brian's take on the ridiculousness that was Paul Pierce. Now, you mentioned to me earlier about somebody maybe going to the dispensaries. I think maybe Paul Pierce did. I don't understand why athletes would say things like he did. And for those that don't know, I like Paul Pierce. I do. I like him a lot. But Paul Pierce had to make a comment, a dumb comment, and got the wrath of Twitter and every NBA fan that's ever watched a game, really, saying that he believed he was better and had a better career than Dwayne Wade. Now, there is a certain, attitude adjustment. There's a certain idea of these guys, when you get their great situations and their great egos, they always think they're the best. But most of them, if there's even a debate, most of them kind of keep it to themselves. Most of them will shut up. Why bring up stats? Why compare legacies? You're both Hall of Famers. You're both fantastic. But when you do, you better be right. Paul Pierce wasn't right here. Paul Pierce made himself look like an idiot here. And I want to defend Paul Pierce, but I just can't. And, you look at what his career looks like. The numbers are unmistakably skewed. If Dwayne Wade played the entire year in 2019-2020, scored 0 points in every game, his career average would still be better than Paul Pierce's. I mean, that's statistical numbers here, guys. I don't understand where this came from. I'm not sure why he needed to say this during kind of the finale of Dwayne Wade's career, his swan song. But Pierce said it, so we're talking about it. Brian, what happened here? Why even go near this?
Well, he didn't say, let's clear it up. He never said, I'm better than Dwayne Wade, or I was better. He said his career was better. And I mean, other than the fact that he scored about 3,000 more points than Dwayne Wade in his career, all the other statistics, all-star appearances, 3 championships compared to 1, all lean towards Dwayne Wade. I mean, it's as if, he played 20 years alongside of nothing but bench material the way he talks, because he's like, if I had the players around me that Dwayne Wade had, yes, Dwayne Wade did get to play with Shaquille O'Neal. Yes, he did get to play with LeBron James and Chris Bosh. But you know what? Come on, Paul, you got to play with some pretty damn good players yourself, and Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, one of the most prolific shooters of all time in the NBA. And you only won 1 championship with those 2 guys on your team. Paul Pierce, I will say, and come on, he was definitely a well above average, at times great NBA player. But who had a better career? I would take Dwayne Wade's career, and I would probably say, if I had to choose one player, if I'm standing there and I'm a captain, do I got to pick Paul Pierce or do I pick Dwayne Wade? Honestly, Tommy, it would come down to need. Who else is on my team and what position do I need? I think they were both great players in their right. But yeah, if I had to pick a better career, Dwayne Wade, man, he won 3 championships. Paul Pierce won 1. End of story, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a Celtics fan. I call myself a quasi-Celtics fan. I'm not backing them up, the way that a real fan should. But I was there. I was at games when he was there. They were fantastic. I almost felt like he was a little let down almost. Had the big three, you only walked away with one championship, right? And then Dwayne Wade got his big three, and he did with it what we thought he was going to do with it. Paul Pierce is a great player. Great player. Hall of Fame player. But he's just not in that area. And, you know, one of the things that I have a problem with people saying is someone that has less championships saying I had a better career. Because your mindset should always be championships. Your mindset as a player should always be championships. Now, you could take a bench guy, okay, a sixth man who has four championships against an all-star that has zero. And if that sixth man wants to say, you know what? I had a better career. Why? Because I won four times. You know what? I'm not getting on him. I'm not getting on him, Brian. I'm going, you know, the point of playing is to win. You won more? Okay. But it, as a player, you've got to understand the championships mean everything. And if championships mean everything, then Dwayne Wade has clearly had a better career than you. Come on.
Tommy, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, put it this way to you right now. Your choice, career, who would you take? Dan Marino's or Mark Rippon's?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Listen, you're taking Rippon.
I got a ring, right? I want a ring. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, Joe Theismann said it best in the strike-laden season, the one season he did get his ring in. He said, hey, guys, let's go down and win this game. It's for a championship and a big, fat ring. And that's what you're playing for, that ring. That's what we all want. And if you don't get one, it's got to be said that it's somewhat of a disappointing career. I mean, Dan Marino will go down as one of the livest and strongest arms that ever played in the National Football League. But he didn't win a championship. Period. End of story.
Well, I'm going to take a victory lap in the third hour about something I've been saying for 10 years to that vein with all the stuff that came out about Aaron Rodgers. But one of my biggest arguments that I always make, and I've made this to every Green Bay fan and anybody that ever wants to compare Aaron Rodgers to anyone, it's very simple. Would Aaron Rodgers trade his career for Tom Brady? The answer is he better. Would Tom Brady trade his career for Aaron Rodgers? Not in a million years. And that ends the argument. Because it really, really does. I mean, that is, as a professional athlete, that should end all arguments. That should end everything. It's the same thing with LeBron and Jordan. You know, look, I don't think Michael Jordan was the best player of all time. But when people put LeBron against Jordan, I go, would LeBron trade his career right now for Jordan's? Would Jordan do it for LeBron? I know for a fact Jordan wouldn't do it for LeBron because he needed to win. He needed to win. LeBron doesn't actually have that need to win. And maybe Paul Pierce didn't. Maybe this is a little telling about Paul Pierce that he, you know, still has a little resentment, still has something where, you know, maybe winning wasn't his number one priority because he's talking about stats. That's bothersome.
Oh, it is, and you've got a couple of really good points there. Paul Pierce, again, I think it just goes with their personality. When it comes down to why this happened, and I know you want to get into another guy that talks and tweets and Antonio Brown, but why this happened with Pierce, look at their careers, look at the people they are. Dwayne Wade has always been a let-me-show-you type of player. Paul Pierce has been, I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to show you type of player. And he's always the guy that's done the talking. So I'm not surprised by something like this coming out. It's really surprising to start the way you started off. Right now, when it's the swan song for Dwayne Wade, the team is scrambling to try to squeeze away into the playoffs, which they're not going to do. But the point is why now, Paul? That's just that's so low rent, man. It just really is.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Let's just quickly dive into the NBA players, just real fast. I don't want to get crazy about it. On the West side, look, it's simple. It's Golden State and everybody else. I know everyone's looking at Houston as a potential, you know, problem. I just think that Golden State turns it on. They flip that switch when they have to. I don't believe that Houston is a legitimate threat. I'm not even sure if Houston gets there. I think Oklahoma City could steal a game because Westbrook plays on his head. But I have a hard time believing not only that there's any competition there, but that I'm not even sure anybody even gets there. That's the thing. I mean, Denver had a nice year. I'm not sure they get to the championship. Houston has a very good year. I'm not sure they get there. I'm not positive anybody gets there, but I know for a fact the Warriors will be playing for the Western Conference Championship. And because of that and the knowledge that I know that they're going to be playing in it, I think that they are unstoppable. I can't imagine anyone in the West even kind of competing.
Tommy, I say it all the time. Nobody's beaten that team in a 7-game series or a 5-game series for that matter. It's not happening. The Golden State Warriors right now are still intact, have more talent per man than anyone in the NBA. It's not even close. Second, and again, they coast through the regular season. I think they find it boring, Tommy, and they just wait for this time of year to start. Now, I will say in the Eastern Conference, you know, you talked about the West. Yeah, the West is set. We know the playoffs. We pretty much almost know who's going to be playing each other. And it's the Warriors to lose. They'll definitely be in the Western Conference Final, and I can't see Houston taking them down. I give the Nuggets and Isaiah Thomas all the credit in the world for the season that they've had. I did not see that coming, and I would say that that was the biggest surprise to me this year. But they're going down in the NBA playoffs. They'll get to the second round and no farther. And over in the Eastern Conference, it's been really cool. I think the Milwaukee Bucks are one of my favorite, and I hated the Bucks growing up because they're rivals of the Detroit Pistons, but they are one of my favorite teams to watch. Giannis is so much fun. I mean, that guy is just sickly good. But I still think in a 7-game series, the Bucks lose to the Warriors.
I think they would have to. And I'm not even sure the Bucks get there.
No, I don't know either.
I was on the Bucks last year. I like them. But listen, I see Kawhi Leonard being a guy that could completely step his game up. I see this Boston team maybe ready to click. I've been down on the Sixers, but I can't deny that talent. You know, I think the East is extremely entertaining after the first round. You know, teams like the Brooklyn Nets, I had actually going to the playoffs this year, they barely squeak in. Teams like the Nets are happy to be there. They're going to be happy to go home, too. I mean, it's going to be one and done. You look at the East, though, you know, it's going to get fun. I could see any one of those teams. You mentioned Milwaukee. Let's talk Milwaukee. Let's talk Philly. Let's talk Boston. Let's talk Toronto. I could see any one of them making a push in the East and every single one of them getting near humiliated in the championship.
Yeah, exactly right. It's going to be a lot of fun to see who whittles their way down to it. I mean, you know, the Charlotte Hornets right now making a serious push. They're trying to get that last seed, and it's amazing because the bottom line is the Heat and the Pistons just don't want it, as now 4-game losing streaks respectively for both. You got on the other side, the Hornets have won their last 3. They've won 7 of their last 10, and they may squeeze into that 10th spot, and they'll beat on the Bucks a little bit because they're playing really good basketball right now, but I think it is going to be really interesting coming down to it. And I like what you said about Kawhi Leonard. The Toronto Raptors are the real deal, and I think they can play with the Warriors and maybe even take them to 6 games in the NBA Finals. But I just think when it's all said and done, basketball, it's blasé, man. Once you get to the Finals, it's going to be the Golden State Warriors. I need somebody to give me a valid argument on how this team can be beaten in a 7-game series. Explain it to me, because no one has come close to telling me anything that makes sense, Tommy, when they're trying to argue that the Golden State Warriors can get beat this year.
All right, well, let's have a little fun, okay? I know you like to throw a bet down now and then. It's kind of my business, right? So I'm going to set a line for you here. Let's talk about the line. I'm going to set a line at 4 games for the Golden State Warriors. Over, under 4 games they lose this playoff series. This season. The entire playoffs, including the finals. 4 games over under.
You know, only because of they at times have these lulls. And I don't want to call it selfishness, because there is no way you are ever going to see in the history of sports a team more star-studded than the Golden State Warriors that plays more unselfish basketball. It amazes me that all these stars can fit in one room and can fit on the same basketball court, and yet they do. But because of how star-studded they are, I see a couple of letdowns. I could see this team losing 6 games this year in the postseason. When it's all said and done and the smoke clears, I think they're holding up the championship trophy, but I would take the over if you gave me 4 or more. And I know you might think I'm crazy there. I just think this team has letdowns at times, and if they get up 3-0 in the series, they'll take that game off.
I'm not sure if anybody pushes them to 6 games. I'm just not sure. Look, I know they haven't been that dominant this year, but I just look at the rest of the league. I look at who's going to compete against them. Houston could give them problems, and they have during the regular season. But I'm not completely convinced that Houston gets there. I know that I'm in the minority here, Brian. I just don't see this Houston team as, oh, sure, we're getting a Western Conference Finals. I don't see them walking there. I could see them letting down and stumbling along the way and then
Yeah, but who beats him, Tommy? Did the Clippers beat him? Did the Nuggets beat him? And I just don't know that those are teams that match up that well against the Houston Rockets. I think because
I
of the matchups.
I can see a healthy Portland team beating them. Well, Portland team is scary.
But Portland could very well end up playing the Warriors in that round, and the Nuggets will end up against the Rockets. And if that ends up being the case, I think the Trailblazers are very capable. Matter of fact, I think the Trailblazers and their makeup and the style of basketball they play, Tommy, I think they're a team that could take a Golden State to six games. They can't beat them, but I think they could win a couple at home.
So who do you got coming out? I haven't spoken to you, so... I've ridden, before the year began, I took Toronto beating Boston to go to the finals, and I said I didn't want to be a homer, okay? And obviously the Warriors, not that I'm going out on a ledge. I'm not patting myself on the back for this one, guys. Who do you got coming out of the East? Are you sticking with Milwaukee? You just saw enough of them?
No. I honestly believe that Milwaukee's going to fall before they get to the NBA Finals. I'm just saying that Giannis is such a dominating player, and I haven't seen a guy that can take over basketball games like him in a long time. He is exceptionally gifted. But I do like the Toronto Raptors coming out of the East. I think they are going to be a very tough out. Kawhi Leonard, I mean, you know, as good as he is offensively, he's just as good defensively. And you don't see superstars in today's game playing two ways like he does. And this is a team that I think is going to be a really tough out in the postseason. So, yeah, I think it's going to be the Raptors and the Warriors when it comes down to it. And I think the Warriors win it in five games.
Why don't we believe in the Sixers? Because I don't either.
I know.
Why don't we believe in the Sixers?
Health.
Yeah, I just don't like that team. I don't know why. I don't dislike. I'm not rooting against them. I just don't like that team to move on. And all I keep getting shoved down my throat is how good they can be.
Well, they can be.
I just haven't seen it come together, you know?
Well, Jimmy Butler can be such a tremendous distributor and such a difference maker. And when they picked him up, I thought, this is really what this team needed. You know, they've got such good inside presence, and you just needed a guy to run the floor. And he's one of the best in the game doing that. But there is just times I think Jimmy Butler makes bad decisions and becomes selfish. And hey, would I love to see him be a Detroit Piston all day long and on a day that hasn't been invented yet? But I still think that might be the problem. And you know, the bottom line, the Sixers are going to go as far as he goes because he has to lead the way.
How about the MVP talk? This was a hot topic this week. I didn't even think it should have been a hot topic. Look, I'm giving it to Giannis all day
long.
I know people like Harden. It's Giannis all day, right?
Oh, my God. He has been so electrifying this year. He is in the last two seasons just burst on to the national scene like I've never seen anything like. Who had any idea that this guy would be so domineering? I mean, Tommy, if you're standing there and you're LeBron James or whoever it is and you're picking an all-star team, how do you not take this guy first? He is the 2018-2019 NBA MVP. Yes, James Harden, you have had one hell of a season. And some of the things he does on a basketball court just truly amaze me. But Giannis is a freak of nature. And, I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks are best team record-wise in the National Basketball Association for one reason, and his name's Giannis.
Yeah, I look at them and I say, you know, MVP has gotten to be kind of what this team wants, what the league wants. Harden got it last year. He doesn't need it. This is kind of them crowning Giannis the next guy. You have to take that into consideration. I think he wins it. I think he deserves to win it, and I'm with you. Harden, great year, but come on. You know, this is Giannis' award.
Yeah, and I mean, the bottom line is Milwaukee does have a decent supporting cast. Houston's got a better one, and yet Milwaukee's got a way better record, and that's because Giannis is absolutely ridiculous and the best player in the National Basketball Association this year. I'll stand by that wholeheartedly, but you never know. It is a popularity contest. Harden's been around longer. Give it to him again. Who knows?
Tom Barton here with Brian Feldman. Before we go, somebody wrote in, what's our thoughts on Musselman? I almost completely forgot about this. And I really wanted to mention Edwards also. One of the best performances ever. I'm glad he's eligible for the NBA draft. I'm glad that he said, hey, you know what, I'm coming out because you got to leave on a high. And I've never seen a performance, shooting performance like he did in an NBA that is pure shooting. I like that Edwards is coming out. But I want to get your thoughts on Musselman.
Well, you know, I mean, an Arkansas Razorback. I mean, where's he gonna? I am really surprised. I think Musselman. I haven't seen a coach play his way out of either top-notch job or even potentially on his way back to the NBA this year than what happened up in Reno. I mean, a friend of both of ours, Jose Vellante, uses the term dumpster fire a lot, and that's what happened up in Reno this year. All kinds of rumors surfaced recently that one of the Martin brothers was having relations with Jordan Caroline's girlfriend. That's been something that surfaced that created disarray in the chemistry of that team. But you were talking about a team with for sure two, possibly up to four NBA players, a team ranked as high as the top four in the country, just completely fall apart as the season went on. And the coach, especially in the Mountain West Conference Tournament, Tommy, I was at every game, and I thought he completely lost this basketball team. And, you know, that's why right now Musselman is being talked about for some jobs, but not the jobs we thought he'd be being talked about.
We know that. I went through this, and I had heard a guy that I like to do interviews with, Mike Randall, said he believes that Eric Musselman did the worst job of coaching this year in the entire country. And it was a rough thing to say, and he said this right before the Mountain West tournament. And it was a rough thing to say, but you know what? When you read into it, you go, wow, three NBA players in a pathetic Mountain West conference. The way that he went out, the way the height that he had, it's not a crazy statement. And now he's on his way out of town. I think it's a weird move, but I think it's a move that almost he needed to go. I'm shocked that people are so shocked about him going. Not where he wound up, just that he wound up. I think you're right. He just played his way out of there.
Oh, he had to go. I mean, the bottom line is it's going to be Mother Hubbard's cupboard up there in Reno next season. It's a whole new start. I mean, UNLV with their new coach and a new look will probably be close to being as good as as good as the Wolfpack is. No, it was time for him to go. Everyone thought he would be exiting on such a different note and terms than he did because of, like I said, it was just mind-blowing. Looking how good this team was, I think they started, Tommy, 13-0, and like I said, they climbed all the way up in the national rankings. I think they got as high as number four. How does that happen? How do you let a team collapse like that? And I don't know. I think that's really harsh to say the worst coaching job in the country, although it's hard to follow every single D1 school, but he definitely was the most disappointing coach in the Mountain West, and I'll include Marvin Menzies. I don't think Marvin Menzies did as bad of a job as Musselman, because nobody in the Mountain West had to work with what Musselman had to work with this year, and he completely collapsed. And even in the NCAA tournament, I thought they got a really favorable draw getting the 7th seed against Florida, and they came out flat again and did what they had to do the last 2 weeks all the way into the tournament, and it was keeping coming back. They expounded so much energy having to come back in every game that once they got back in the game and they did it against Florida again, they lost. They just had nothing left in the tank, and it was just bad coaching, really. I could not believe seeing a Reno team grow and morph and come together the way they did last season to go to the Sweet 16, and then just completely be a disappointing, the disappointment they were this year, man. Really, really a letdown. Eric Musselman, I'm sure, will be fine. He is a good coach. He did a bad job this year. I don't think you can judge him based on just one season, but he is going to have to go somewhere and put something together pretty quick because, you know the old saying, you're as good as your last win, and right now his last win came early in the Mountain West Conference tournament.
It's only the SEC with Kentucky and Auburn and Florida and LSU, right? It's only the SEC.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
No pressure.
No, none whatsoever.
All right, guys, we are at the halfway point. We're going to turn the page. I am going to do a victory lap around the country, basically. This is the victory lap of all victory laps. Coming up next, we'll be back. You'll know what I'm talking about. If you listen to this show, you had to know I was smiling ear to ear to be proven so right, so completely right. And we'll talk about that and more on the way back right after this.
Now back to Heat Wave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton.
All right, guys. Back here on Heat Wave Sports, Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com sitting in with Brian Feldman, waiting for Tim Unglesby to get out of traffic or answer his phone or do both. I know he's listening, but he'll be coming in for the baseball segment if he can make it. If not, we're doing baseball hour number three. But I want to talk a little bit about football. I want to take a victory lap, a well-deserved victory lap, because, ladies and gentlemen, since I've gotten on these airwaves about 10 years ago, there's been a few, we'll call them named athletes that I've taken a lot of problems with. The number one guy at the top of the list has been a certain Green Bay quarterback named Aaron Rodgers. Now, it is not because I'm a Bears fan, full disclosure, I am. You guys are fucking rant and rave. We used to have Ron Natty on, who was a Green Bay fan, and we would go at it. Epic arguments and epic fights. Okay? We've gone at it multiple times with the listeners, callers, people that want to jump on Twitter. And my argument was always coming down to Aaron Rodgers is a bad teammate. Aaron Rodgers is a bad leader. And that eliminates Aaron Rodgers from the greatest of all time conversation. I think it's ridiculous. I've never put Aaron Rodgers inside my top 10. I have a hard time putting him inside my top 25 quarterbacks of all time. Because while I do see the skill in Aaron Rodgers, it's obvious. Jeff George had a lot of skill, too. Michael Vick had a lot of skill, too. A lot of quarterbacks have a lot of skill. But to be a quarterback, the greatest quarterback, you have to do certain things for your team. You have to be a leader. You have to be a good teammate. You have to elevate your team. So I've been saying this for years. I've quoted Craig Jennings in the past as one of the people that I've heard. But it's out of that building, out of Green Bay, I have heard for years, people don't like Aaron Rodgers. His team doesn't like him. He's all about the stats. He's all about numbers. Doesn't care about winning. This is what I've relayed to you, the listeners, for years. And more times than not, what have I been met with? Pushback and argument and pushback. And I get it, because ESPN and the NFL put Aaron Rodgers on a pedestal of he was going to something that he never wound up being. So Tyler Dunn writes an article this week that comes out from, now he was a Green Bay beat writer, so he's got some good insight, and generally speaking, solidifies every single thing that I have said about Aaron Rodgers for a decade. People in the building do not like Aaron Rodgers. His offensive teammates, three offensive teammates are named, saying he's not a natural-born leader. He picked on a guy like Jeff Janis. He's all about the stats. He wants his numbers. He wants his stats. It's never his fault. That we heard multiple times. It's never his fault. It's always someone else. That him and McCarthy went back and forth because he would change plays. He would argue. And the Green Bay playbook got to be almost laughable. I've heard from defensive players around the league that they knew it was coming from the defensive playbook. And Green Bay fans want to blame McCarthy. Guys, if Aaron Rodgers is switching up the plays, that's Aaron Rodgers. Okay? Now, no one can take away from Aaron Rodgers' pure skill. You want to sit here and you want to argue with me that he might be the most skilled player? That's okay, sure. I'll give you that. That doesn't mean you're the best quarterback. So this article breaks, and this article literally throws Mike McCarthy under a bus. But it also throws Aaron Rodgers. And I think what we have to look at is the reality of Aaron Rodgers. The reality that Aaron Rodgers can be a good quarterback, a great quarterback even, and still not be a good guy, still be a bad leader. And when you're talking about the greats of the great, in the history of sports, there's only one position. We don't do it with a defenseman in hockey. We don't do it with a center in the NBA, there's one position that we judge solely on wins and winning the championship. That's quarterback. Brian just gave me a comparison. Would you rather have, you know, Mark Rippon's career or Dan Marino? Why do you bring up Mark Rippon? Because he's got a ring. And now we get into Aaron Rodgers, who Vegas had as the number one or number two favorite in the NFC every year of his healthy career, preseason. And he's got one ring. He's got one ring. And he had to go through a third-string backup quarterback in order to get to that point. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is my victory lap to all the Green Bay fans out there. I'm not telling you that Aaron Rodgers is any good. I'm telling you that everything I've been telling you guys for 10 years has been verified. Brian, did you read the article? This was a scathing article for a superstar.
No, I'm not going to say that I did. I'm going to have to read the article. And, Tommy, you know, I definitely can relate to your rant. I have heard things about Aaron Rodgers as well. I heard, like, he doesn't talk to his family. I have heard he's not a good guy. The same thing. I've heard that, you know, there are teammates that don't like him. But I will say a couple of things. I'm glad you did say how skilled he is, because he is. Hey, I'm a Detroit Lions fan. For me to say anything positive about a Green Bay Packer takes a great deal of intestinal fortitude. I have it. Aaron Rodgers did win a Super Bowl, and put it this way, there's no way I'm going to compare Aaron Rodgers or speak the same breath of Aaron Rodgers and Jeff George. Two different people. They might have had similar personalities. Jeff George was an ass as well, but I would take Aaron Rodgers any day of the week. And Michael Vick, when Michael Vick showed up, the few games Michael Vick put it all together, one of some of the best performances I have ever seen in my life. There was a game where it was like Michael Vick was playing peewee football, and he was a professional player. One of the first game he came back and got to start in front of Donovan McNabb, one of the greatest performances I've ever seen. But no way will I compare him to Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers' consistency. And one thing I'll tell you, Tommy, and this I will say, because I'm not at 100% disagreeing with you, I'm not going to put him as one of the greatest of all times, but I will say he has the skill set of the greatest of all time. And here's the way I'll explain it. If you were to tell me, say, and I've said this before as an example, you can start any quarterback, you got one game, any quarterback in the history of the National Football League, it is prime, who would you start in one game that you have to win? Now, I'm going to say Tom Brady's the GOAT based on the body of work. I will never take that away from him, and anybody that does is a moron. But I will say this, if I had one game and one quarterback, I'm starting Joe Montana. It's a personal preference. If you came to me and said Joe Montana was hurt and Tom Brady's going to start in his place, I'm not bumming out at all. But in the same respect, and I mean this sincerely, if you came to me in that one game and said, here's the deal, the day of the game, man, I'm sorry, I know Joe Montana was supposed to start for you, but he blew out his knee practicing this morning, and the guy that's going for you is Aaron Rodgers. Tommy, I'm not upset about it. I'm like, okay, we'll get
Brian, you'd lose the game. You'd lose the game. you'd lose the game.
I don't know that you would. I don't know that you would.
His last seven. Here's the thing. Because I have ranted on this, so I love to hear have a fresh voice for it. Listen, here's the thing with Aaron Rodgers. His last six times that he was eliminated from the playoffs, you know he didn't throw 300 yards in any of those games. That's not the defense. That's not the defense's fault. That is Aaron Rodgers. He fails during pressure. He is a guy that can't handle the pressure. I have heard out of that building that he is a guy, the reason why his interceptions are so low is because he'd rather throw it into the third row because he doesn't want his stats to look bad. In this article, where Michael Finley says his stats are what he cares about. You would lose that game. Now, I could give you 10 guys I would take instead of Aaron Rodgers in that position. I could probably give you 25. Aaron Rodgers is maybe the most overrated athlete of our lifetime. He is a very skilled, poorly executed.
No, I'm still going to put Lance Armstrong in that spot, but I hear what you're saying.
Well, Armstrong, you know, hey, look, he cheated.
I mean, the bottom line is, how many races did he really win? Zero.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, Armstrong is a good one. You know, I used to say Michael Vick, the guy that we were just talking about. I used to say Michael Vick because of you know, everything that he did. But Aaron Rodgers was crowned the best quarterback and one of the best. He's in the conversation with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Guy's got one ring. His teammates friggin' hate him. I mean, you know, to me, that is the epitome of overrated.
Yeah, it's a shame that he carries that moniker, but I've heard it as well. He's not not a very popular guy. The sad part is he does have a unique skill set. When I say unique, not that he's the only one that has it, unique meaning amongst the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I believe he has the skill set and the makeup of those people. I truly believe he does. It's not, Tommy, I guess his problem is where a lot of the potential greatest have their problem, and it is 6 inches, those 6 inches between their ears.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought you were going to say something else there.
Well, I don't know how many inches the guy's got. I don't want to know.
All right. How about you want to talk about somebody that's full of themselves? I want to talk about somebody that might not be a good teammate. How about Antonio Brown's comments?
Jesus.
If you read these comments, Brian.
Yeah, you know, I did read him, and it's amazing because, you know, this guy, Juju Smith-Schuster, has never once tried to outshine Antonio Brown or said he was better or anything. He just simply fills in as the number two receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers and was stuck in the position this season, late in the season, to be stuck in the number one position, and he did a fine job. And Antonio Brown's going to say that he basically cost the Steelers postseason play. That is ridiculous, and I really liked Juju Smith-Schuster's reply. It's like, man, this guy has been like a brother to me. What is going on here? But I don't know what's happened to Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown, to me, Tommy, is proof that maybe Men in Black is real. This guy's turned into an alien, dude. He came out a humble, great wide receiver out of college, and, man, it has just gone to his head like no one I've ever seen before.
You know, it's funny because I ask people out of Pittsburgh, you know, I talk to Josh Taylor from CBS Pittsburgh often, and I asked him, I said, you know, did you see this? They said, yeah, the media didn't really see this out of Antonio, but people in Pittsburgh did. People that were around him saw this side of him. They were able to kind of just corral it. Now with Juju, that was mentioned. Josh had mentioned a couple of months ago, he said there was a jealousy thing where Juju was all of a sudden kind of becoming the guy there, and he was afraid. He was nervous. He doesn't like that. But the underlying Antonio Brown being like a raving lunatic was there. Now, I didn't know that. You wouldn't know that. We're not in Pittsburgh. But it is interesting that nobody seemed shocked in Pittsburgh that this was the result. To bring it to a Las Vegas theme, does this worry you as a teammate at all of how he's going to be in that locker room? Does this worry you as John Gruden? How is he going to be in that locker room? As a teammate standing next to him going, man, this guy, you know, looked up to you like a brother. Maybe I won't get so close to you. I mean, you're throwing Ben under the bus. I'm throwing Juju under the bus. What's the take from a Vegas connection standpoint?
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you right now. I definitely worry about Antonio Brown here in Las Vegas. Number one, to talk about distractions, there's no place on earth that probably has more distractions than Las Vegas. But Tommy, I'll tell you what worries me most is it's not Antonio Brown, the 31-year-old that thinks he's 25 still and can dictate his wherewithal as a wide receiver. The clock is ticking. What worries me is Derek Carr. I still think this guy is a joke. And I said it when he had his great season. I said, yeah, he had a great season. Everyone's going to figure him out. I believe that the older brother is still the better of the two. He just got put in a horrible situation being the number one pick in the draft by an expansion team and had to go out and perform. And by the time he grew into his NFL, he was terrified. It's like the goalie in the movie Slapshot. He'd taken so many hits that he was lousy. But I don't think Derek Carr's the answer. And I think Antonio Brown is going to start getting frustrated if Derek Carr cannot get him the football. And that's where the problem is going to start existing, and I think you're going to see it happen. I could be totally wrong, but I think even by the time the Raiders get here in 2020, they'll be looking for or have a different quarterback. I've been saying that for a long time. I just don't think this guy's he's the one.
Well, what a transition. That's why you're a radio pro.
Well, I'm transitioning only because you asked what we think in Vegas. That's my personal take. I think Antonio Brown's going to be a problem because I think he's going to start complaining about the quarterback almost immediately because I don't think the quarterback is going to get the job done. And that's the last thing you need is a disconnect between a superstar wide receiver and a quarterback. That spells immediate disaster.
I love it. That brings me, that's why I said the transition, that brings me to the transition to what I wanted to ask you next, I don't want to get too much into the draft, but I don't know the next time I'm going to talk to you on the air. So talk to me. Is Murray number one? I mean, I'm hearing 90%. I'm hearing 90% are saying Murray's number one.
Oh, my God. I this is the most shocking NFL draft to me in history. I'm sorry. I don't know how you're taking Kyler Murray, a guy with one year of D1 experience, a guy that was picked early in the Major League Baseball draft, and you're going to put him on your team and expect him to be the savior of a team that you just a year ago put stock in another quarterback, and you're going to give up on him right away. But it appears Arizona's going to do this. And I look at this team and I say, you know what you want is you want someone who could potentially be a game changer. Who is the best player in this draft? I still believe it is Nick Bosa. And I think Nick Bosa has the ability to be a game changer on the defensive side of the ball. And I am amazed when you've got a defensive end with this guy's ability, his speed to come off the edge like this, that's what you want. I mean, Tommy, successful teams are built around three things, in my opinion. A quarterback, number one, you've got to have a quarterback. Number two, you've got to protect the quarterback. And number three, you've got to have a guy to go get the quarterback. I don't think Kyler Murray is the quarterback any better than Josh Rosen is. So you already went out and got some people to protect the quarterback. Why don't you get somebody to go get him, Nick Bosa? To me, it's a no-brainer, and yet I think they're going to take Kyler Murray. Shocker, brother, shocker.
Well, I am hearing that that Murray, I reported this about a month and a half ago, that Murray is definitely going one. Number two, Nick Bosa, although a lot of people are saying that Allen has a bigger upside. I'm not sure if I believe that, but okay, that'll be 2-3. The Raiders are sitting here at 4. Do you, I think I know your answer based on what you said last time. Do you look at Dwayne Haskins here?
I don't know how you don't look at Dwayne Haskins. This guy has, on the surface, he has everything you are looking for in an NFL quarterback. He makes good decisions with the football. He has the size, the skill set, and the speed to play outside of the pocket, and he can play in between the tackles. I think he's the best NFL prospect. Is still over Kyler Murray, although Kyler Murray is such a tremendously gifted athlete, and the one thing about Kyler Murray is he can make every throw, even though he is undersized, and that's what you've got to be able to do. But I don't know. I don't know how you don't look at him, but I also think if somehow Williams slips past the New York Jets, which is where I think they're going to get Keenan Williams from Alabama, I think the Raiders go after him, because the bottom line is you got to start.
Jets are all in on Allen. They're getting Allen.
Yeah,
they're not going to get Williams. You know why? Because they've taken four defensive linemen.
Yeah, you're right.
In like the last 5 years.
Well, I heard. I'm not disagreeing with you. I've just heard that Williams is projected to go number three, but I really like him for the Raiders. He's not Khalil Mack, because Khalil Mack doesn't exist except the one that plays for the Chicago Bears that you let get away. And I could rant and rave about that for the entire next hour. How sick it makes me, especially going to the Bears, a rivalry of the Detroit Lions. But we'll stay away from that. The Raiders right now, I think this is the best fit for them. I don't think you go all in on Haskins. Just because I think, put it this way, you might be able to wait. I don't know. Again, it's an experiment. And I think John Gruden is still believing that Carr is his quarterback and that he's going to ride him out one more year. I just think this year, to me, this is going to be the year that Derek Carr is really exposed, because he does have a running game, and now he has a world-class wide receiver. And there's going to be expectations that I don't think he's going to meet. But I don't think the Raiders go out on that limb this year. I think they're going to try to get somebody to go get the quarterback, because defensively, Tommy, that team's a mess.
Quinnen Williams at 4. Raiders trade a second rounder to go get Josh Rosen. You like it?
I like it. You know what? I do like it. I think that would be interesting. I think it would be a really good fit. He's only 4 hours away from Southern California, where he played college ball and where all of his family lives. And, you know, I think he's got kind of a grit to him. And I think, you know, the good thing about last year in Arizona, which Josh Rosen needed more than anybody in the National Football League, was humility. And I think he's got more humility stuffed down his throat in 2018 than anyone could handle, and I think that's going to be good for him going forward, because I really do believe that he has the tools to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League.
Yeah, listen, the Raiders have a ton of draft picks. They're saying it will take a second to get Rosen. You might even get him for a late second. The Raiders wouldn't be hurt with that. You get a draft where you get Williams and Rosen. You turn around to Derek Carr and say, look, you're our guy, okay? You're my guy. You're the starter, but we needed to get a solid backup if we're going to do this. The price was good. You could kind of alleviate him there. And you give Rosen a year under a Gruden system to see if he's your guy. If he's not your guy next year, all right, you wasted a second, which stinks. But you know what? When you're wasting a second, you can do that in the draft anyway. You go into next year, and then you go up to the quarterback. I think it's a no-brainer. Give up your second, which you have a ton of picks. You get a top defensive tackle. You get maybe your quarterback of the future. It makes a lot of sense. And I like what you said. You know, it's close to where he played college ball. I watched Josh Rosen. I basically bumped into him on the field at UNLV. He played in UNLV. You know, so he knows the area.
Oh, yeah, he does. And I mean, don't take anything away from this guy. There were times where Josh Rosen can do things that only superior quarterbacks can do. The problem is he doesn't do them often enough and definitely not consistently. But the right coach and the right system, again, I think this is a guy that can have success at the highest level. And I'm still flabbergasted at the Arizona Cardinals. I think it's recipes for disaster when you keep going back to the same well again. Look, you took a chance. Give this guy a chance because, you know, I just don't know. And I want to ask you that. You know, you asked me about Kyler Murray and all. What do you make of Kyler Murray? You know, and I'm just going to say this, and I do want to hear what you got to say on this, Tommy, but my God in heaven, how can this happen? You know, the Oakland A's, how screwed are they? So they get their $2 million back. You can't get that high of a draft pick back. And I know in baseball, it's way more hit or miss than in most other sports because the draft goes so deep and there's such a huge talent pool. But in the same respect, I mean, that is a really high draft pick that they can't replace. Isn't there a way at some point there's got to be repercussions for something like this? Because there's no way the A's and Billy Beane take a chance on this guy unless he really convinces them that baseball's his thing. So when you do that, there's got to be repercussions, right?
Well, this is why Billy Beane is one of the worst GMs in the history of baseball. And he gets applauded for being the best. He's an idiot. We all knew that he was an idiot. And he did it. I'm glad. I'm actually glad that, you know, he was the team because you had to know that this was a possibility. And if you waste a number 10 draft pick on him, that's why teams passed on him. You know, I spoke to an executive for Major League Baseball before the draft last year, and he chuckled at the notion. I will say this. He didn't have a top 10 pick. He was in that 12 to 15 range, his team was. And he chuckled at the notion of taking Murray there. Because he said, look, I think we all know he's going to explore the NFL draft. Now, you can retain his rights and things like that, but this is why Billy Beane is just a bad general manager. Flat out bad. I've been saying that for years.
I'm just going to say this, and remember I said this here. This is a bold prediction. In 4 years from now, Kyler Murray will be playing Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I completely, completely agree. Leading off in Las Vegas.
Leading off here at the brand new Las Vegas ballpark. I think he will, and I think he'll end up being a decent Major League Baseball player. We've had him in the past where they've gone and played football. They've been successful. A guy like Brian Jordan, you remember him of the Atlanta Braves. I mean, the dude went to, played with the Atlanta Falcons and ended up being a pretty decent Major League Baseball player. It can happen. And I think Kyler Murray, although I really would love to see it, Tommy, the first time ever a quarterback being a two-sport athlete, that would be pretty cool. Almost happened with John Elway, but we knew it never would. But I would love to see a guy play two sports, quarterback and play Major League Baseball. That'd be sweet. I don't think Kyler Murray's the guy that's going to make that happen.
No, and too small. He gets hit one time. And you got to be committed as a quarterback, man. It's a full 365. You're studying playbooks, especially Cliff Kingsbury playbooks. We'll see what that comes out there. I'm glad that we can talk a little NFL, even though it's not really anywhere near the NFL season. It doesn't matter. We're talking a little NFL. We're going to come back. We have to talk a little bit about Major League Baseball. A couple of cool things that I want to talk about. A couple of teams, hey, maybe they're getting right, maybe not sure. Is it too early to panic? And Tim brought up a point, and I would love to have him. I was hoping that we'd have him here. But I want you to give this some thought. Tim wrote to me that he believes, and Tim is not a hot take kind of guy, he believes that Mike Trout right now is a top 25 player all time. I said, I think that's ridiculous. I can't do it. And then I started breaking down the numbers. I said, he might not be as crazy. So we'll talk about that and more on the way back. Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com and Brian Feldman back right after this.